it's telling in verse 4, the response of Israel. And I think this underscores what Brother Amel was just saying, because it says, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. You see, there is a responsibility which is upon us now, having heard, having seen that the hand of the Lord is upon us, having been brought to the point where we understand why God has removed his glory from our midst, and the path to recovery. And as they say today, the ball is in your court. What are you going to do, Israel? I was thinking of Joshua as he stood before the people in his day. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites? Or are you going to serve the only true and living God? So young people, we sit here, and this is where reality meets the word of God. I should say it meets us. What are we going to do? Are we going to simply hear these things? Are we going to consider them? Are we going to continue in the way that we have been walking? Or are we going to do what Israel did? And I want to tell you, it's interesting because this is a national or collective response by a nation. The call is to us today as individuals. This is a day of individual exercise. You can't always look at the young person next to you as to what they're doing. We had it last night with some of the young men. The verse from James chapter 4, verse 17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, to that individual, it is sin. My brother sitting next to me or my sister may not have yet come to that point, or may not be aware. Or even if they are and they are still continuing on in the wrong path, it is not for me to worry about what they're doing. It is for me, knowing to do that which is right, to do it. They put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. I have a question. How long did they serve the Lord before the Lord began to act? Do we know that answer? You know?
I don't exactly know the answer, but I'd guess that it'd be about the context, I guess, not even a year.
Okay. Well, the point is that I don't think the word of God gives us an indication as to time period. God is looking for us to make the right move. And then God takes things up when he needs to, at his own timetable. But it is upon our shoulders to respond to the word of God. And when the heart is right, and when things have been put away, and when we've dealt with the sin that has so easily beset us, God sees that conditions have changed, and then God is able to work his work to release us from the hand of the enemy. Because, you know, the point I wanted to make is that even though they had begun this road of recovery, they were still enslaved by the Philistines. But God wanted to work this work in their hearts first before he moved them from under the bondage of the enemy.
To add a New Testament scripture to go along with our individual responsibility. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work.
This was a people who had not seen the need for prayer. Now I wonder, how much do I value prayer? What are my thoughts about prayer? What does Samuel say? Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah and I will deliver you? Oh, he doesn't say that. But he recognizes that the source of power for deliverance or all else that was needed was in prayer. Where do you think he had learned this? Oh, I think he learned it from Hannah, his mom. I think that she had taught him. I'm not sure whether she visited him more than once a year, but I'm sure that she had helped teach Samuel that power to walk for the Lord here begins with our prayer life. And so Samuel said, I will pray for you unto the Lord. That is what will make the difference. It's what made the difference in Samuel's life and the difficulties we're going to see he yet faces. He prays. He goes to the Lord. He communicates. Now, these people weren't used to this. They weren't used to somebody that would just say, look, I'm going to pray for you. It says, I will pray for you. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. I believe this is the confession that they were nobody and that they in themselves had no power. They had nothing they could do. And then they fasted. They did not take their natural food that day. They left it sitting aside. They fasted that day. And listen to this next couple of words. They are the most difficult words you and I will ever repeat. We like to say, Lord, we haven't done things the way we should have. Or I haven't done things as good as I could have. And the Lord's not listening for that. He already knows that. He already knows what we've done. But these are difficult words to express. We have sinned. And not only have we sinned, but there's the recognition of who that sin, that rebellion, it may have been directed toward my brethren, but it is against the Lord. And this is why I was thinking as Tony is speaking about recovery. The Lord doesn't bring them back on a short path. He waits for these words to come out of the lips of Israel. He waits for this exercise to be expressed, that they fast. And then it is expressed. This is really where we are.
It's been suggested that the response to my question is, the Lord moved that day when Israel determined to serve God only. 1 Samuel 7:10. But I think also on that day, as Brother Chuck has pointed out, that they confessed before the Lord that they had sinned. Samuel does an offering later on that we'll touch on, but the thought is that the Lord moved that day when they determined in their heart to serve him.
I was just thinking that, it's wonderful to see Samuel interceding on their behalf, as he was not just a prophet, but we really see him functioning like a priest. And we know, I was just thinking of the verse in 1 John, and you don't have to turn to it, I'll just read it. It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so what a wonderful thing to know that we are on, you know, the prayer list of the Lord Jesus. He's our great high priest. He's the one that intercedes for us. He's the one that could tell Peter, I have prayed for thee, that your faith fail not. You know, it's wonderful to recognize that, you know, when we sin, God already knows everything. You know, it's one thing to sin against someone and now you have to go and confront them, and that might be difficult to do. But here, when we go to God, he already knows everything. And so I think it makes it that much easier because we're now just confessing that, yes, Lord, I did this wrong thing. I said that wrong thing. I had that wrong attitude. I had that wrong thought. You saw it and I confess it. And there is the Lord Jesus on our behalf interceding for us. So it's a wonderful thing.